Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday. It's November 4th, 2015. I have the title of today's program already written out.
Great.
Can you guess what it is?
What?
No. And I want to comment on this. You brought some conviction to my heart and some encouragement, actually, and some life lessons that I want to live out and hopefully practice in the days ahead. But you made a comment, and I think today's title for the program, if we even go there and talk about this, but Things Done in Excellence. Mm. And I'm thinking back to what you just recently said off air, but I want to comment on Monday. I was so encouraged by sharing some of the stories and things that are going on with this radio ministry. And on Monday night, Kate Freeman came to the Singing Men rehearsal.
And I saw pictures of that.
Oh, really?
You know, Jim Ramos, he catalogs all of life.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're his friend on Facebook, you are guaranteed to see what he's eaten, how he's eaten it, who he's eaten it with, what he's done.
Oh, yes. In fact, he was on a trip to Israel, and the joke when the trip was all over, and he had the camera away from his head, that's what he looks like, because he took like 4,000 pictures.
Oh,
the most,
yeah.
Nobody's ever even gotten over 2,000. I think he had like 4,000 photos. So, yeah, I haven't seen those, but, yeah, he was at rehearsal. It was nice having him return. But Kate Freeman, I painted some of the background of how we had been praying up the Great News Radio Theater Troupe for a number of years and how God raised up Kate. And so she presented some of her vision and how the Great News Radio Theater Troupe could be a part of maybe some of the Singing Men concerts. And we think the debut will be at Marketplace Mall on the 19th. When the Singing Men sing in the food court right at noon. And so sometime during that presentation, we'll have the theater troupe do some, we got some special things that we're working through. Anyways, she shared with excellence and wants the theater group to be a group using the performing arts to God's glory, done in excellence. And that was kind of the theme of the evening. Even Steve talked about we practice and rehearse really hard because we want to sing to God's glory in excellence.
Right.
And so some of the comments you made reminded me of that. And then yesterday, on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, I had Vonsiel Coleman. And I called her up at the last minute, and she shared some of her story and the excellent example that she gave of walking with Christ at an early age, and then because of circumstances and being molested and loss of loved ones and some other things, she really fell away from the Lord. And it was through an excellent witness of a neighbor that started her back into a Bible study and talking with her about the Lord and saying that the Lord can forgive and use different examples, and how she is finishing so well and had such a powerful testimony yesterday. So if you missed either the Monday or Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, there were some excellent God-honoring stories. And they are archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archive programs link. And then you were talking about the excellent exposition summit, I think you were at recently, actually most of all of last week, and how you were stirred to do things in excellence, to harness your energy and effort and be productive to the nth degree, to really just say, hey, if this is a strength, focus on it, work hard on it, don't get complacent in it, put your energies and efforts to do what you do best and do it well. And as you shared that, it just led me to be thinking about different things that we're praying through and wanting and doing it to the Lord's glory, but do it with excellence, with intentionality. And so, therefore, I think today's program, we might want to talk about excellence.
Well, I think that, I mean, don't we, especially following Christ, we think, well, okay, you know, I think we ask the question all the time, you know, God lead us here, did God lead us there, does God want me to do this, does God not want me to do this? And we get exuberant about serving the Lord, and so we try and plug in to make a difference with our witness wherever we can. And I think that we don't have an unlimited amount of energy like Christ. And even through Christ, we have more than, we are more than conquerors. We're more than we know. But we still, you know, we're not infinite. We're finite. I mean, we get tired. I mean, Jesus in his human form gives us that picture. He got hungry. He got tired. He rested and set the disciples ahead to get some food. And he, you know, he was thirsty. And so we have to be attentive to the fact that we have limits. And so therefore, in my limitations, and I'm personalizing it, but in my limitations, what am I going to do? And then am I going to do a lot of things really good, pretty good, or am I going to do a few things?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. I mean, and really just making that mark in those places and then discerning that with God. I mean, what does God want me to do? And really then that means I have to spend more time praying. I have to spend more time, you know, my wife and I together praying and asking God, what are the excellent things that you would want us to do, that you would have us do? And, you know, I one of the things that just, you know, draws to my heart is that my kids, I mean, you know, if we save the world but lose the home, mm-hmm. I don't know what we've got to gain, because, you know, I don't know what heaven looks like. I mean, the Bible is so sparse on what heaven is really like, you know, when what we're our experience of heaven will be as angelic beings, you know, glorified beings. I really don't know. I don't know if we're going to feel a sadness. I don't know if we're going to look around as glorified beings and go, where's my son? Mm-hmm. Why is he not here? I mean, I don't know that. But I do know that if I'm not faithful to the excellent work of discipling my kids, they won't be there.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, even my son and I had a real deep conversation the other night. You know, this, if Jesus comes out of the clouds right now, I mean, where are you at? You know, and he's like, gosh, you know, hell is such a scary place, Dad. I know. And what's even scarier for me as a father is that if I don't do all I can do, you may be there. And so, you know, and ultimately that's not my, it doesn't rest on me. But I'm part of that chain of witness. I'm part of that chain of giving my son the testimony of who Jesus Christ is, and then living that out in front of him and discipling him and walking next to him. I mean, ultimately, Ephesians 2:8-9, I mean, God's going to do it. God opens his heart and God deposits that in there. And God doesn't desire that anybody should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But I do have a part in that. And so I think just for me, I mean, what is the excellent work? I mean, I love Philippians where it says, and it is my prayer, chapter 1 and verse 9, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment so that you may approve what is excellent.
Hmm.
And Paul is saying this is coming from God. This is coming from Jesus Christ. This knowledge is coming from him, which means you have to spend more time asking him. You have to spend more time seeking him. You have to spend more time, you know, for me, it's journaling and writing down and saying, you know, Lord, what is it? You, and getting with my wife and saying, what does that look like? But I think we want to apply ourselves to excellent things. It doesn't say in the Bible anywhere that if you work harder and you do more stuff that you get anything. At the end of the day, we all are going to attain the same thing. We all are going to attain those final verses in Jude where it says that with great joy and without blemish, Jesus presents you to the Father in the throne room of glory. I mean, so we don't get anything more. We don't get anything less. But I do think that we really do marginalize our witness by trying to, you know, be a mile wide and an inch deep. Maybe your Rice Krispie Square and my Rice Krispie Square is only 6 inches wide, but it's 100 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we've grabbed a hold of people and we've just taken them deep and we've really just spent time with them. I mean, I don't think the guy who has a little church with 40 people and the guy who has a mega church with 4,000 people, I don't think one man is better than the other. I really don't see that. But I think we get caught up in our culture of defining what is an excellent way. You know, and the excellent way, oftentimes, I guess, in our culture is tied to numbers. It's tied to what it looks like. It's tied to that. And I think you and I talked about that. I mean, you can have people who are incredibly successful, and that is just but a thin veneer for insecurities or immorality or impropriety or sinfulness or anything that's happening below the surface. And so just because a thing looks excellent doesn't mean it is excellent.
Yeah, that's like people's schedule. Oh, they must be very successful. Look at how busy they are.
Sure.
And yet their train wreck's ready to happen.
Hey, as somebody who's lived that life, I can attest to that.
Yeah.
That you know, you can make yourself feel good about what's going on because you're running from meeting to meeting. And I've been through seasons like that, running from this meeting to this meeting to this meeting to this meeting and feeling like, gosh, everybody needs me and I'm so busy and I'm so doing that. You know what? And at the end of the day, not having even the energy to get on my knees and pray because I've run myself into the rag. So I've worshipped at the feet of people in my own schedule and not worshipped at the foot of Jesus. And that's just a reality I think that we all need to own up to, because I think every single one of us at some point in our life has done that. Because we get caught. It's such an easy trap to get caught into. And so I think we've just got to be careful. Let's look for the excellent things.
I think even in relationships, you know, we can have tons and tons of friends where the relationships are just very superficial, if you will, but need to have those meaningful, accountable, deep relationships. And sometimes that's, what would it be? Like, you don't get to have them because you're running around doing things with so many different people.
Right, right. Or, so in pastoral ministry, I would just be honest, that you find yourself putting out fires. And I lamented this a few weeks ago, that there are things in pastoral ministry that say, I have to address. I don't get a choice. Maybe it's an issue that somebody's facing, or maybe it's a frustration somebody has, or whatever it is. But it's these things that Satan wells up that I have to use and expend time and energy on that take us off mission, take us off the things we should be doing. And he knows that. He is so clever and so crafty as to know that to be God honoring and to love God and love people, that I have to say, okay, well, I have to sidetrack here to take care of this person, when he's kind of authoring this problem and authoring these things. And so, you know, the enemy comes in there and he wants to attack, and he wants to show us things that look really excellent. He wants to show us places where we can be like, oh, I'm really making a difference here. And a lot of that, let's just be honest, a lot of that is our own ego. A lot of that is our own need and desire to say, I did this, I did this, I did this, or I'm making a difference here. You know, I've come home many times and said to my wife, wow, I think I really did some good work there. And then, you know, you got to pull back and go, I didn't do anything. Like, I could do nothing on my own. Yeah. You know, Jesus said that I can only do what the Father tells me to do. And so, you know, I'm not Jesus, but, you know, I mean, that's Jesus' humanity. That's the human part of Jesus that we can relate to. That, you know, I sometimes will run ahead, and then I got to remember, no, wait a second, it's only what the Father says. And that's why when it comes to doing everything excellent, one of the places, you know, so we heard a word when we were at the Expositor Summit. When I say we heard a word, it wasn't like we heard a prophetic word or we heard any of that kind of stuff. We heard a word being preached out of the Bible, and that word we really felt was something that we needed to hear. Yeah, I said it on Sunday morning, and I really mean it. And please, don't take this the wrong way when I do say this, but I run into a lot of people who say to me, I need a word from God. I need a word from God. And I'm like, you know what? He's given you 804,000 words in his Bible, in his inspired, breathed out. I mean, 2 Timothy tells us this is God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed, not some of it, all of it. And so God has breathed out the scripture, and the Greek word there, the word meaning there, is literally as he's talking, the breath is coming out of his mouth and his words are falling onto the page through human authors. God spoke through these men divinely. And so this is God breathed. So when I say that we received a word from God's word, the best place to find a word. So today, if you're thinking, you know, I'm just in a season where, you know, Jason, I want to do excellent things, but I'm just not, you get a word from God. Open up his word. That's where you get a word from God. And that's where we received it. And it was in Psalm 150 where it says, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his mighty deeds, praise him according to his excellent greatness. And so everything that I want to do in an excellent way is not excellent without the praiseworthiness of God, without coming to God and saying, in this thing, God, I want to worship you. So you say you're given a task. I don't know. We'll use Kate for an example. Kate, in order for that theater troupe to be excellent, Kate has to not worship the theater troupe, but worship God in the midst of it and praise him in the midst of it. And what does it say? I mean, this is almost works for the theater troupe too, right? Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and the dance. Praise him with the strings and the pipe. Praise him with the sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud crashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And so this idea that, you know, we don't worship the excellent thing that we're doing, but we worship the God who makes it excellent. And so in order for me to seek things that are excellent to do, in order for you to seek things that are excellent to do, they have to be things that you will worship God in. And isn't that what Colossians 3:23 says? Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. That do it for the glory of the Lord, do it. That do it is worship. Do it. That means as you're doing it, you're how great is our God? You know, it's not.
Now, people couldn't see you. It just like it looks like you had a shovel and you're
like
digging
a
hole.
I picked something that I wouldn't want to do. Not want a shovel.
You couldn't see that, but he had like a shovel in his hand. He was digging a hole to God's glory.
Well, and let's be honest. Some of us go to do work, and so I'm doing the shovel thing again. And some of us are like, how much does this suck? I'm saying, how much does this stink? I hate it so much. You know, Colossians 3:23 is telling us, no, when you do it, that's worship. You're doing it. And look, I don't have to like the things that I'm doing. If you're the measure of your life is to find things that you like to do, to be invested and involved in, you will live a very empty life because you're not going to like everybody. You're not going to like everything. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't have you there for a reason. And in the midst of it, you can worship him. Because I think that, Mark, as you had mentioned, I don't know if it was off air or on air. I get the two sometimes mixed up. I'm not sure what reality I'm living in. But you talked, maybe you talked about earlier in the week about the fact that, you know, some people view church in a different way. They go to church and it's like a restaurant or it's like a gas station or it's like these things. You know, that's the point where it becomes more me-centered. That's the point where it becomes about you and not about worshiping God in the midst of it. Look, you can go to a church and worship God and not necessarily love the music. In fact, I guarantee you, if you go to a church long enough, a church that God is living and breathing through, you are not going to like the music at some point. There's going to be some song that's sung a certain way, and you're going to go, it's not the way we've always done it. Because God is living and breathing through the generation. So as God is raising up younger worship leaders, there's going to be something that's done not the way you like it. But that doesn't mean that you can't worship God in it. Because in that moment, you can thank God for raising up that young person to the glory of the praise of his name that would lead people in song in that triumphant march towards Christ. And so stop worrying about the music and start thinking about the excellent thing that God is doing there, which is calling you towards him to pray. Praise his name. That's the excellent thing, the worship of him. I didn't even think about this prior to getting in front of this microphone, that it is the worship of God that makes a thing excellent, not the fact that the thing is excellent. Because you know what? If I'm really honest, parenting stinks a lot. It's very hard. It's very difficult. I was up at like 5:30 this morning because my kids don't understand the time change. So they think it's 6 and it's really 5. And they're like, but it's Sunday. No, it's 5. It's early. Come on, guys. Parenting is hard. But when I worship God in it and thank God for my kids and look at them through the lens that God has, I see them differently. And I know for you too, Mark. I've seen many times where you and Holly are trying to get Esther out the door from something and she doesn't want to leave. And she just, you know, she just, like all kids, launches into that moment where it's like, I know I'm going to break the glass and throw the tantrum. I mean, it's difficult. And in those moments, it's hard to see our kids the way God does. But when we do see our kids and we react differently to those situations, suddenly it's not like, you're going to get the spanking. Instead, it's like, you know what? You're going to get some grace here. Mm-hmm. You know, I found recently it was funny. So we're at this expositor's summit. And this guy who's like in the seminar and he's the head of this, you know, this pastoring. He's the professor of pastoring at Southern Seminary. Teaches pastoral ministry, teaches preaching. A really interesting guy. I would love if we can talk to him sometime, Mark, because he was youngest ever called to the Martin Luther King Institute for preaching. And just, he's very dynamic and just very, but during the midst of this, he was talking about, we want to change people or convict people. Now, he's talking about the pulpit, but my wife and I, we're translating it to parenting. He's talking about, he said, a lot of you guys get in the pulpit and you just yell. You know, and you want to make a point and you yell. So you get in the pulpit and you go, and you don't understand, and you. And I'm thinking, right away my wife and I are thinking, because we've been realizing that maybe in our home we're yelling more than we should. We're raising our voices more, and it's causing an unsettled kind of culture in our home. We want to draw back down. So he's talking about this, and he's saying, you know, hey, you know, you guys are maybe just from the pulpit, maybe you're just a little too strong. You're a little too strong. He said, you know, there is a conviction that's like the old gangster movies that, you know, says, hey, you let the father down. Why don't you just lie down and die? Take it like a man. And my wife, right away, she said, when we get home, we need to get down on our knees in front of our kids when there's a problem and whisper. Mm-hmm. And it was funny, we're riding home, right, and we're listening to the radio, and there was a woman on the radio, and she starts talking about the same thing. So then we're thinking, like, oh, my gosh, it's got to be a God thing, because, like, somebody else is talking about it. It's crazy. Like, God's knitting this together, and this woman's talking about it. And she says, yeah, I was yelling a lot, and I was just kind of raising my voice too often, and so I started whispering, and it scares the crap out of my kids. Yeah. they think I've lost my mind, yeah. And they obey. And so the, you know, I get home, and I'm like, Jacob, what are you doing? You know? No, I was just kidding. Yeah. But I mean, really, I mean, so How do we worship God? I mean, look, first of all, how do we pray to God and say, God, what is the excellent thing that you would like me to do? What is the, you know what, maybe you've only been called to one thing. And you know, that's okay. At the end of the day, God isn't going to go, oh, good and faithful servant. Ooh, under 10 things. I don't know.
Yeah.
God's going to go, oh, good and faithful servant. And boom. So pray and ask God what the excellent thing. And maybe you're a high capacity person, so maybe it's more than one thing. But let's start with one thing. Because my conviction is that many of you out there, in fact, most of you out there, are doing too many things.
Mm-hmm.
Doing way too many things. What's the one thing that you can say, I really feel like God has called me to this because I've sown so much prayer into this and so much time, and I just know this is the thing that God wants me to impact and affect. And through that, you begin to give everything that you have, and it becomes a place of worship. It becomes a place where you do that thing, and at the end of doing it, you don't go, oh, that thing was really rough. I don't know. It was really hard. Instead, you're like, I would put this before the Father. Like, I would lay this on the altar. It is to the best of my capacity, without spot and without blemish. I can worship in this. And you know what? Maybe then it's only one thing. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. Because that one thing will be excellent. And it'll be Psalm 150 praiseworthy. The cymbals and the lyre and the harp and all those things will come out. The guitar and all those things will come out. And boom. It'll be an excellent thing.
You know, I was thinking when you started reading that, and then you referenced, this is a lot like maybe that Great News Radio Theater troupe you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I like how, as you were reading it, I was thinking, all the glory is going to God, the worship. And
yeah.
So I guess a measuring stick of doing something in excellence, or maybe a lesson learned here, is God being glorified? Is he being honored? Is he being lifted up high? Or is it you and your reputation and your pride? And, you know, are you getting the credit?
Or begrudgingly. I mean, how many of you right now, and you were wrapping it up, so I don't want to keep going, but how many of you right now are doing something just because you've always done it?
Mm-hmm.
And you need to stop doing it because now you're doing it in begrudging submission. You're not really happy to do it. You don't find joy in doing it. Look, I don't want people to stop teaching Sunday school or stop singing or stop doing whatever, but maybe there's something you've been doing that you're just doing it because you don't know how to say no and how to stop, and it stopped being excellent for you because you stopped worshiping in it. Find the thing that you can worship in. Find the thing that you can glorify God in, and from there, build upon excellence.
There it is, everyone. Today's title, Do It in Excellence. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.